Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Time Capsule, episode 15. I'm comedian Simon Kane, and for those of you new to the show, this is the podcast where I bring on a guest, get them to leave 20 questions, and then a year later, bring them back on to answer them. I then edit it so they're talking to their past selves.
All past voices will sound like this.
And all future voices will sound like this. To give you an idea of how the show is structured, here is a question that I left myself before this week's guest arrived to leave their questions.
Hey Simon, you've got a podcaster coming on this week. What is your current favourite podcast? What are you listening to consistently at the moment? And have you managed to listen to a whole series since this time? Because I know that you tend to start podcasts and then just duck out and don't bother finishing a lot of them, which is fine, but it just means you've got a lot of downloaded episodes that you'll never get to. It's like having a bookshelf on your phone all the time reminding you that you never finish things. Have you finished the series, and what are you listening to?
fuck you, past me. So I'm still working my way through the Black Tapes. I really like the Black Tapes podcast. I think it's really well put together. I think their ads are getting a bit out of control, so I sort of stopped listening because of that. What am I really enjoying? I'm still enjoying the Parapod. I think the Parapod is amazing. I'm still enjoying Unexplained and looking forward to series 3 of that. Unexplained is the podcast of Richard McLean Smith, who is the guest for this week. And what else have I been enjoying? I'm still looking for a really good podcast on sex, sexuality, and serial killers. Not all in one. Like, I'm looking for those specific subjects. I'm really interested in hearing more on those subjects, and I don't really find that much on it. I'm a bit of a fan of sort of unsolved things and conspiracy theories and stuff, and I suppose the Parapod covers a lot of that, but obviously it's stopped now, so there's not enough new content there for me. But yeah, I wish there was more of that that I enjoyed, because the ones I've heard I don't really like. But yeah, as for have I finished the series, I've not. I've started about 8, and I binge on them and then I get bored and then I move on to another one, which is the beauty of content these days. But I know it's not helpful for most creators, including myself. So let's move on. Let's start the episode. Today's guest is, as I said a second ago, Richard McLean Smith. He runs a podcast called Unexplained, which takes an unexplained story and tells it to you in a really compelling manner. He also is a musician and a composer and works on all the music on the podcast, which means that sort of everything's put together in one place and it's really just well done. Like, I really like the way that he does it, and it's sort of made me want to do my own storytelling podcast and put something together and maybe even work with him on the music. Or something like that. Hey Simon, let's focus on this podcast and your other one rather than trying to start a third, shall we? I'm really excited to hear how these questions go. I know what he's left himself, and I know that he has forgotten those, much like every guest. So without any more delays, we'll jump into the episode. If you're new here, please do remember to hit that subscribe button. If you're old here, please do remember to give us an honest, ideally positive review in iTunes. And either way, please do join the Facebook group. It's called The Audio Time Capsule, and it's on Facebook, obviously. But now, without any more delays, let's open the Audio Time Capsule of Richard McLean Smith.
My name is Richard McLean Smith. The day is January the 31st, 2017. We are in the bunker of a building in Race Street, London. I'm feeling good about the project. I'm feeling nervous about it. I'm feeling nervous about my time capsule. I'm feeling apprehensive about my time capsule because I feel like I'm going to put a lot of things. I'm going to have a lot of things ahead of me for the next year, and if I haven't fulfilled them, I will either feel guilty in retrospect, if I haven't achieved them, I'll feel like a guilty failure in retrospect.
Hello, I'm Richard McLean Smith. It's the 11th of February, 2018, and I'm currently on the top floor of the Bill Murray Pub in Islington. And I'm feeling nervous about answering my own questions, which I can't even remember, from a year before.
So, Richard, your podcast, Unexplained, about a year ago, you were just kicking off with season two, but I seem to remember having quite big ambitions for season three. Were you able to achieve them?
So
I'll just have to remember that Joseph Citroen may have been on the verge of dying at the time when I was asking myself the question.
Right. Well, yes, it's interesting. I haven't found out, actually, about Joseph Citroen's health. I was just talking about at the end there. I think to explain a bit more, I have a plan for a podcast season, or a season of my podcast, rather, that I still can't explain what it is exactly because it's supposed to be not really a surprise, but I don't want to give anything away before I do it. In order to do it, involved at one point I was hoping I was going to be able to speak to this person called Joseph Citroen, and I found out that he was quite ill when I managed to get hold of him, and since then, and now this is over a year now, since then I've not been able to hear from him again. I'm slightly worried that he might have passed away, but the answer is I don't actually know whether he has or not. But it, as a sort of broader answer to that question, those big ambitions are unfortunately still just ambitions, since a couple of things have got in the way of me doing that season. So I'm going to be returning to this sort of familiar Unexplained for the next season, and the one after that will be the more ambitious project, we hope.
So Richard, I think is right in saying that one of the most exciting things that has come out of doing the podcast Unexplained is the possibility that you might be able to develop it into a TV show.
Right.
I remember thinking a year ago that the only thing that stood in the way of that was you not being good enough to do it. So how far did you get with that? Were you able to put a good idea together, and is anybody interested in buying it?
Right, this is another I'm slightly concerned that they're all going to take this path. The answers, so that's still a possibility, very much so, but again hasn't quite come to fruition. But I would say not because of my own ineptitude. I'm confident that I can do it, but something else has come up, or something else came up, which I think might be the subject of a later question. So let's see what I get asked in a second.
So I remember just before you put out the second series, you were asked if you were interested in doing a sort of book adaptation of the podcast. And I think the idea appealed to you because of the sort of slightly pretentious idea that it would be good to write a book, but it also felt a little bit like too much hard work at the time because you wanted to do something a bit more interesting than just a straightforward adaptation. Did you take the lazy option, or did you find an interesting way of putting a book together that did justice to your pretentious ideas?
What I would say first of all, that now having done it, or having sort of almost completed the process of writing a book, I don't think any version of any book that's ever been written could probably be described as a lazy process. It was very, very involving, and quite difficult. So I hope I've made something that people will at least find interesting. I can't actually remember what I was referring to when I said that it would be a particular the book would be there would be a particular approach to it, but I think what I would say is that it's a more substantial sort of approach to the stories and the ideas that I explore in the podcast. I think as such as a book warrants, really. So I can't remember the end of the question, actually. Have I even answered it? I think that covers what you are asking me.
Did you finally finish? this is not even funny. I'm just laughing at myself.
Laughing at me.
On the subject of books, but a different book, have you finally managed to put together a first draft of the book that you started 5 years ago?
No, that's an absolute no. And it's a no because the actual real book that I'm writing, as I said previously, was incredibly involving, and I've had no time to do anything else. And I don't know if that's because I'm particularly slow or if that is just the nature of the beast, as it were. So, no, I haven't. I'm looking forward to starting it, though, when I finally finish this other one.
Is your girlfriend still putting up with you? Because you and I both know that I spend all my time doing stuff like this instead of... sometimes I feel it would have been easier for her. Either sitting in a basement on your own or at a laptop on your own or in your own head trying to think up things. Is your girlfriend still okay with that?
My girlfriend is still with me. I don't know if she's still okay with it. She's incredibly supportive, so she's hiding it well if she's not, I would say. I mean, the funny thing is, I think primarily because of the book, actually, and we recently moved house, so the funny thing is, even though I now work mostly from home, in fact, completely from home, I've seen even less of her since. So, yeah, she's had quite a tough time of it.
Finally, I seem to remember when you were a year younger, back in 2017, that you were in the process of trying to buy a flat and it had just fallen through. And I think you thought that you might never sell the flat now because of Brexit and people were going to get freaked out by those sort of things. Did you find a flat in the end? Where do you live now?
I did find a flat, as I just told you. But I just realizing now how I mean, I suppose they are self-involved questions because I've interviewed myself, but I don't know if these are going to be very interesting for people to listen to. The answer, again, is yes, I did find a flat. We did find a flat, myself and my girlfriend, and we've moved to a very nice part of sort of northeast London, I suppose. Don't ever want to say exactly where it is. I'm concerned that I might... I don't know, the weird thing is having a book, I don't know if this makes any difference because, I don't know, I mean, more people might listen to the podcast than might ever read the book, but somehow having a book makes it feel more, the potential of it being a book makes it feel more real in a way that I get nervous if anybody finds something in it that they dislike, that they might track me down and let me know about it. So, I won't say exactly where we've moved to, but I mean, it's stupid saying that because it's on my website, so you can read it there.
So, Richard, you've recently got yourself a second cat, and I remember you thinking a year ago that if you could have as many as you could possibly fit in the house, that you would. Did you buy any more?
We haven't bought any more. Sorry, excuse me. we haven't bought any more. And when I say bought, I mean, ideally, obviously, you should always take a rescue cat. But our first cat we did actually buy, but our second was a rescue cat. And I think in future, if we were going to do that again, if we were going to get any more, we would hopefully, there would be rescue cats too. But so we haven't got a third one, but we have talked about it a lot and we would both like to get one. I think the next thing is what we'd really like to do is have a place big enough.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Or, you know, just some, I don't know, it's a bit of a pipe dream, but having a sort of a farm type scenario where we could have any and as many animals that we could possibly have. So, again, I don't know how possible that is, but the short answer is at the nearest available juncture, we will get more cats.
Is your dad still being annoying?
I was dreading this one coming up because I remembered, it's the only one I could remember that I'd asked myself from last year. And it sounds very harsh now having it repeated back to me, but just to qualify to my dad who might listen to this show, it was obviously that question is wholly out of affection, and it was more to do with the fact that he had recently sort of semi-retired and so needed to speak to me more often than he would have perhaps otherwise done, and now he has a new job, so he's actually not calling so much, and I miss him.
Looking back over the last 12 months, what has surprised you the most? And what lesson did you learn from it?
Okay. I think I'm, just because I'm sort of so all consumed by writing this book, I don't know if I mentioned that yet, but I'm writing a book. And so I would say that was the process of that. I always thought that would be a difficult process, but I think it's been maybe more difficult than I had imagined. I think just the sort of, I don't know, it's the first one I've done, I suppose, so there's a lot of, I've put a lot of weight on my own, sort of, there's a lot of expectation I put on myself that I do a good job with it, and it's very difficult since it's not, you know, you're not working traditional hours, you know, any minute you're not working on it feels like you're, you know, potentially not making it the best that it can be, so I think that over a prolonged period of time is quite stressful. But at the same time, it's a huge luxury to be able to do that with the hope that it might eventually make it to the shelf and people might even buy it. So I've learned that. I've learned that writing a book is difficult and stressful. And what else have I learned? I'm sure there's more. I'm sure I've learned something else. Maybe I haven't. Maybe that's all I've learned. I can't think. Oh God! See, this is the sort of question you need to have a bit of preparation for. I want to say something profound. I don't want to just throw it out there that I've learned that my cat isn't very good at learning to go to the toilet again after moving house.
Let's imagine that you can go back to the original record day. It's 31st of January, 2017. What questions would you take out and what would you replace them with?
I would... I think I don't know. I'd take out the questions that were... Oh, I suppose that's the point of the purpose of it is to... is to almost predict how things are going to turn out in the future. But I think I'd like to get to the point where I feel like I'm actually, you know, not worried so much about what I am supposed to be achieving and actually just kind of enjoy the process of what I'm doing. Because I've been, as I said before, been very lucky to, in the last few months, be able to kind of have the opportunity to write full time, for the time being, at least anyhow. And I think the funny thing is, in my head, I'd always assumed that I'd have a bit more sort of control over my life in a way, but actually the reality is that you end up giving up more of it over to that. And actually, I can't remember what I was going to say about that. So I don't want to say anything that makes it sound like I'm getting a bit morose with my answers. So yes, no, I would like to take out the questions that are, I think, putting unnecessary expectation on myself about what I have and haven't achieved, because frankly, there are more important things in life. But also, I think I've probably done as much as I would like to have hoped to have been able to do in the last year. And now, listening back to those questions, it feels like I haven't done half of what I was supposed to be doing. Anyway, I think that's, I'd probably go back and change that. But I'm just thinking, always been answering the questions thinking that it's related to the podcast, but actually it could be anything to do with my life. Maybe I should do them all again. I mean, I should answer them all again. All right, maybe I can switch it up now.
So, Richard, was there anything in the year that's just passed that you turned down or said no to that you wish you hadn't?
I'm trying to think. I think if anything, probably saying yes to too many things and not being able to do it. But actually, again, it ties back to having done this book. I've just really been under a rock for the last sort of 6 or 7 months. And, you know, everything has sort of been dictated by that. So I haven't actually been able to, you know, haven't actually had the time to be able to do other things that I'd like to have done. And I'm hoping that, I think I will, when I've finished it, have a bit of time to catch up on things, i.e. spend some more time with my girlfriend, more meaningful time, you know, I should be able to have a kind of bit of headspace to sort of comprehend other things that are going on other than my own thing, my own work. So, yeah.
Richard, what do you remember from the last year that makes you the most happy?
Last year, God, I'm really struggling. I'm just struggling because I feel like all I've seen is a desk, you know, and whatever rubbish on the internet that you come across. I think it makes me most happy. I would say actually, what genuinely made me happy was. And this is a very complicated, complex sort of point or idea, really. But it's not specifically the, you know, because of, you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat in America. But there was the result in Alabama, I believe. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. I think it was Alabama. The result in Alabama, a local election that was won by a Democrat against all the odds, and I think it just, there was a sort of slight release of the pressure valve of the sense of something becoming something going too far. That, again, this is a very complicated point. I think I try and allude to it a bit in the book, but this idea that a lot of people kind of I think becoming a little bit unsettled by the idea of old sort of established orders being challenged and in some ways becoming redundant. And I felt like there was, in that moment, there was a feeling that there is a sort of system underneath in a good way that has so far managed to resist sort of it sort of resisted sort of the idea that it might no longer be necessary. And there was in that moment sort of a feeling that there was some kind of something to sort of hold on to amongst all the chaos, if that makes sense. I know that I haven't really articulated that very well, but yeah, I think there was, I don't know, I found that quite a stirring moment when I sort of woke up the next morning and I found out that that was the result. And yes, I'm trying to think of something specific, but any time I think that my girlfriend's managed to get me away from my laptop and for us to actually have some time together, we spent quite a nice day making a big snowman in the park that I was very proud of. I don't know if she felt the same way.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Thank you very much for taking the time to answer my questions. I hope you wish you all the best for the future.
No problem at all. It's great to speak to you too. I've been looking forward to meeting you for a while. So it's good to finally have the pleasure. Yeah, all the best to yourself.
That was Richard. I loved hearing about how one big project can just be all-consuming and all-encompassing and just sidetrack your life, but in a really good and positive way. And although he was very wary of sort of just saying the same thing again, like sort of in some answers, I think that's valid. I think sometimes, I wouldn't say unfollowing your dream because that's sort of a weird way of looking at it, but I think sometimes going with an opportunity, especially when it was unexpected but is something you want to do, is important in life. And I think it's very easy for us to just see a goal and to keep working towards it and not realize that the goal is an endpoint and life is about a journey. So if you're always working towards an endpoint, you're actually not enjoying the journey. And so something like a book that comes up, or something like, I don't know, an opportunity to do a live show, or you know, something a bit interesting that still gets you there but moves you in a slightly different direction, it's really important in life. And it was great to hear how that worked for him. And I'm really excited about hearing the book, to be honest with you. I'm really hoping he does it as an audiobook, although he did say to me that he's probably only going to be a hardback and a paperback, which is great. But as I said very early on in the podcast, I have a bookshelf of books that I haven't got through and that I need to, and I don't really want to keep adding to it. So if it was a podcast, I'd probably get it. Podcast, an audiobook, I'd probably get it. If it's a hardback, I'll probably get it and then read it, but slowly, which is unhelpful. If you're interested in buying the book in whatever form it comes out in, I will put links to everything in the show notes. Please do go and support him. Please do check out his podcast. Please do also listen to some of the other podcasts I suggested at the start. Also, if you have any suggestions for other podcasts, please do let me know them. Like, just join the Facebook group and give me a DM or something like that, or tweet me at This Made Me Cool. I'm always looking for new and interesting podcasts, and if you do one and you would like me on it, or you would like to suggest it to me, I would love to hear it, especially on the subjects of unexplained things, conspiracy theories, sex and sexuality. Those are kind of my four main interests beyond comedy and other obvious things that I do. At the time of releasing this, series 3 of Unexplained has just started coming out and I'm really enjoying it, so I would definitely recommend that. I'm actually running around doing previews at the moment of my new show. It's called Sex, Drugs and Other Things I Never Do. There will be a link in the show note. If you're enjoying the show and you'd like to support me in any way, please do consider coming down to one of the previews if they're near you, or if you can just get to it. Also, I'm going to be at the Edinburgh Festival with that show. It's on at 6 p.m. It's in the Grass Market at the Novotel, and it's every day except Wednesday when I get rudely awoken by the dustman. If you can make it, there's also a link to that in the description. And then I'm on tour, and if you would like information on that, there will be a link in the show. Basically, check out the show notes and support me in any way you can. If you can't come and physically see me or see a show, if you're new here, please do hit that subscribe button. If you're old here, please do remember to give us an honest, ideally positive review in iTunes. And either way, maybe consider giving a donation to the show and helping me finance this and keep the show alive. You can do that as a one-off on my website, which is simonkane.co.uk, via PayPal, or you can become a patron at patreon.com, where you can donate on a per episode basis of the show from $1. Do you think this is worth a dollar? Do you think all the episodes you've had so far are worth something? Please do contribute if you can. The Audio Time Capsule is a Fruit That Got in Gravity's Way production for the internet. All elements were created by me, comedian Simon Kane. Thank you very much for listening, thank you very much for subscribing, and thank you very much for rating and donating if you do. I'll see you all in about 14 days' time. Bye!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.